Okay, hello everybody, thanks for coming. Start my presentation. Okay, so I start first and after that Christoph will detail that. I'm talking about free software, software development in general, software quality, and this also includes your universe. The word software quality is normally not something that is really used by programmers, so it's not like, oh, let's sit together and make a quality plan, or let's think about quality management or something, but this doesn't really mean that we don't care. So what am I qualified to talk about? Quality. I'm a software engineer, I'm an engineer and computer scientist, have programming experience since 20 years, doing commercial projects since 14 years, and this also means, of course, in proprietary companies, so I have experience in both parts, and I'm a founder and general manager of Friat.com Technologies. We are a software company specialized on platform independent software, and we have a strong focus on free software and GNU Linux, and we are very successful and profitable with that. And we make and we use free software for that, and we are using it also for our customers. And I want to point out bookzilla.de. Just every time when you buy a book, you should consider bookzilla.de, because this is a donation project for the Free Software Foundation, and it's really has a lot of books, so like 1.5 million books in the store, and it's delivered very fast on the next day to you or even to your local bookstore. So please consider this. I just make a short screenshot swap. So this is the site, how it looks. It really looks and works a little bit like Amazon. We are also suggesting books there, like from Lawrence Lessig, or like computer books, Free as in Freedom and all this stuff. So please consider this, and maybe also if there are some Wikipedia guys here, I'm not quite sure if you're allowed to link, if you make a book suggestion in an article, if you're allowed to link to a site, please do not link to Amazon, link to us. Okay, so let's start with the quality stuff. An article in the German news magazine Der Spiegel hit me really by surprise. Last Monday they stated something that a Spanish-German company is selling a fully functional programming machine. We can take a look at this at www.programmiermaschine.de. And some quotes from the article read like, programmers type in software all day and night. And because it's only typing, these jobs are now going to India. So this is because they only type it in there. It sounds like we're sitting the whole night and just type something in that somebody else produced for us. So next thing was, software is way too complex as to leave it to the programmers alone. So this means there must be somebody who is observing the programmers, obviously. And they had also some very good suggestions for newcomers. It is like, if you study computer science, do not focus on programming. Instead, focus on planning and modeling, because these are the knowledge worker jobs in the future, and the rest is done in the third world. And of course, one prediction, in 10 years, managers will talk to their machines and get their personal programs. I remember that in the 80s I worked as a junior programmer in different companies, and it was called Case Tools on that time, and it was not really successful but really expensive. Today this is called MDA, model-driven architecture, and they both approaches have in common that they only work for really, really simple solutions, and they are causing really maintenance nightmares. So the sad truth until today is, and programmiermaschine.de will just increase that, is more than 70% of all software projects failed. This is a study from the Standish Group, and this is just one example. We have hundreds of examples, and you all know the examples by yourself. When is a new Windows version there, or you get a new version of Word, will it crash with 100 pages document or not? So you know the success rate by yourself. But as you can see, the average cost overrun is 189%, average time overrun 222%, and the average completeness, that means how much of the features that the users expected were really included in the software, is in the average 61%. So it's not only expensive and late, it's not doing things they were expecting. So this is really a success rate, which is really, really embarrassing. And what is so complex about software that we have something like this? So we have some examples. One really nice thing, which is taken from a book about Larry Ellison. It's a biography. Larry Ellison is the founder and CEO of Oracle Corporation, one of the richest men on earth, and a competitor of Bill Gates in that way. And according to Bob Miner, one of the original developers of Oracle database system, Oracle wasn't really industrial strength until version 4 came out. So it's not something I produced. It was written in that book, and it's a quote from Bob Miner himself, who was an original lead developer of that product, 5.5 years later after founding the company. So they sold something which they actually knew it wasn't working. And so this is one thing. Proprietary software is often just about market shares. It's not about quality or resolving problems. It's just about market shares. And then we have two really nice examples in Germany, which one is called ToyCollect. Germans know that. A really sophisticated systems for collecting fees from transport companies for using the German Autobahn, which is currently free. In the future, maybe not, if they're getting the system running. So the problem was, even 2 weeks before they were going productive, they were still convincing our Bundesregierung that it will work. And it wasn't really tested. They didn't made a really big field test on that. So this caused billions of losses for the German government and for the people. And this is really ridiculous. And then there's another nice example, Arbeitsagentur.de, which is our Ministry of Employment. It's a government website for job offers, and it costs 168 million euros. I think you can rebuild the whole e-commerce in Germany with that money. This is not only way too expensive, when you see the results, they are really embarrassing. And one example is they have a spider robot spidering corporate sites for job offers, and this only costs 4 million euros. Conclusion is proprietary companies often just want to sell, and the sell stuff is often just lying about product quality. And so they're getting paid for lying in that way. And this is one problem. And software is not about typing in code, like Programmiermaschine.de or the article on the Spiegel magazine want to show us. It's about constructing complex logic architectures made out of thousands and thousands of different components and parts. So, and that is also one reason why software patents are not a really good idea, because we have so many parts that can be patented in a software that it's virtually impossible to track that. So, the other thing is you cannot touch software. You cannot smell it, see it, or hear it. You can only think about it and try it out, constructing it by hand. Making software is in the end not knowing, about knowing what will work and what will not work. And this is something that needs time and experience. So you have to make all the faults by yourself first, because it's like you have to do it to know how it works. And you shouldn't do that while you're working on a very important product for a company. So you should make the errors in advance before you're going out and building a product for a company, or maybe working on a corporate system at the heart of something that is maybe the base of a business model for a large corporation or something like that. So these errors must be made in advance. But what exactly is software quality now? So there are two definitions. The definition goes: the degree to which a system or system component meets specified requirements, the degree to which a system or system component meets user needs or expectations. So quality is really focused on what the customer wants something to be. So when we want to compare how open source projects are working in the perspective of quality, then we should compare it with the other hand model, that is proprietary closed source development, or maybe commercial development in general. So maybe some of you know Dilbert, which is a really nice cartoon, but it's not just a cartoon, it's really, really there, it's reality. And it's a cartoon about stories from the cubicles from the American world, and I think it's equal in every country on the world how the mechanisms are working. The normal software project is structured like this. You have maybe customer or marketing. So a customer would be like a customer from a corporate company if you're making individual software, or a marketing guy when you're doing a product. So this is user sales level. Salespeople, marketing people tell you what the customers are expecting from you, or your customer tells it by yourself. Of course, you have to get the information out from the customer, but maybe in 10 years the managers are talking to the computers, as Spiegel says. Okay, on the next level we have project managers, and these are most of the time management level people, and you know, if special education branches in universities, that these people should normally be non-technical people. This is what the whole industry thinks. Project managers should be non-technical guys, or maybe a little bit technical guys, like Wirtschaftsingenieure. That means they're part engineers, part business people. That can also mean that they're part of something and part of something, but have no real knowledge in one thing at all. So this management level is there, and this is and under that level you have a programmer's level. And the seven sins of software engineering, in my perspective today, is that project managers are normally non-technical person, which maybe has a historical reason, because managers were always seeing programmers in the 50s maybe sitting on their computers, and they really didn't know what they were doing there. So they maybe thought, oh, let's get some management people and take control over these weird guys. And the next thing is the project manager filters the requirements for the programmers. He writes specifications, talks to customers, writes memos, makes a plan, makes a quality plan maybe. And this is also causing problems, because the developers get no access directly to the customers and to the requirements. Then, of course, also programmers have problems in the way that programmers often have no long-term experiences and are not educated for the job. Projects are organized in a strict waterfall-like process, which is actually not working, as we have seen in the past, because still we have 70 of all projects are failing, but still they're keeping on with these heavyweight, really complex software projects. Then software is delivered with a big bang. That means you have just one version at the end of the project. It's suddenly there, the customer looks at it and says, this is not what I wanted, but they're still keeping on with this model. And the last thing is, software is not really tested. Nobody is testing software out there. So yes, it's right, and it was in the beginning of the in the papers of this conference, Detlef said, the inmates are running the asylum. Yes, it's right. Today the inmates are definitely running the asylum, but these are the managers who are running the asylum. We think there are different ways to run a project. And so when we want to raise the probability of successful software projects, there are some certain things to do. So raising the probability means it's still difficult. It's not easy, and it's not about typing in or sending the problem to India. That's one thing of outsourcing. People say, okay, let's do our software in India because it's more cheap. But you're not solving the problem that you're not getting the requirements and transforming this information to India, which makes it just more difficult. So we think that the most experienced developer on the team is a project manager, and not somebody who's not knowing something about it. That the team plans together and designs together. That the team has a good education on that, long experience, wrote a lot of code. That every piece of code is tested, most of it maybe using automated test code. And that you use a lean agile development process, evolutionary delivery, like every 2 or 3 weeks you deliver software to a customer that they can test it and use it, and they're also part of the development team and testing and using the software, so that the whole team involved in communication with the customer can work with the customer and see what it's like, what the requirements are really. So let me hand over to Christoph Helwig, which has some nice stories about quality. My conclusion and extrapolation from that is software needs really good programmers, but not really good managers. Working in free software projects is a really good way to learn from experienced programmers, because they coach you there. And free software has a higher quality in comparison to proprietary software, because only the experienced developers are in charge of the overall product. Because before you get to the core team, you have to prove yourself. And these people really care.
as he will show you.